There was a silence, and Paul remembered the discarded pile of bright clothes on the beach. He thought of the many evenings since when his mother had not made it home before midnight. "Business," she always sighed, slipping off her shoes in the foyer, going straight to bed. He looked at Rosemary, who was studying her hands, and he held himself very still, watching her, listening, waiting to see what would happen next.
"She's just a child," his father said at last. "She's 16 and pregnant, and she was living in an abandoned house all alone. I couldn't leave her there."
His mother sighed. Paul imagined her running a hand through her hair.
"Is this a midlife crisis?" she asked quietly. "Is that what this is?"
"A midlife crisis?"
His father's voice was even, thoughtful, as if he were considering the evidence carefully.
"I suppose it might be. I know I hit some kind of wall, Nora. In Pittsburgh, I was so driven as a young man. I didn't have the luxury of being anything else. I went back to try and figure out some things, and there was Rosemary in my old house. That doesn't feel like a coincidence. I don't know. I can't explain it without sounding kind of crazy, but please trust me. I'm not in love with her. It's not like that. It never will be."
Paul looked at Rosemary. Her head was bent, so he couldn't see her expression, but her cheeks were flushed pink. She picked at a torn fingernail and wouldn't meet his eye.
"I don't know what to believe," his mother said slowly. "This week, David, of all weeks, do you know where I was just now? I was with Bree at the oncologist's. She had a biopsy done last week, her left breast. It's a very small lump. Her prognosis is good, but it's malignant."
"I didn't know, Nora. I'm sorry."
"No, don't touch me, David."
"Who's her surgeon?"
"Ed Jones."
"Ed's good."
"He'd better be. David, your midlife crisis is the last thing I need."
Paul, listening, felt the world slow down a little bit. He thought of Bree with her quick laugh, who would sit for an hour listening to him play, the music moving between them so they didn't need to speak. She'd close her eyes and stretch out in the swing, listening. He couldn't imagine the world without her.
"What do you want?" his father was asking. "What do you want from me, Nora? I'll stay if you want, or I'll move out, but I can't turn Rosemary away. She has no place to go."
There was a silence, and he waited, hardly daring to breathe, wanting to know what his mother would say, and wanting her never to answer.
"What about me?" he asked, startling himself. "What about what I want?"
"Paul?"
his mother's voice.
"Right here," he said, picking up his guitar. "On the porch, me and Rosemary." "Oh, good grief," his father said.
Seconds later, he came around to the steps. Since last night, he'd showered and shaved and put on a clean suit. He was thin, and he looked tired. So did his mother, coming to stand beside him.